as we continue through the minor prophets chronologically. I think I'll try to squeeze in Lamentations where it goes, and I'll let you know where Isaiah and Jeremiah fit, and even Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther fit in into this period of Israel's history as well. But Hosea, the fourth of the minor prophets that we've looked at, and God again warning Israel that the captivity hasn't come yet, but it's on its way. And tonight's passage is very sobering because he reveals one of the main reasons why that chastisement is necessary. So beginning in verse 1 of Hosea 4, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so shall they sin against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they've left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel with their stalks, and their staff declareth unto them. The spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under the oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredoms, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices." So destroyed for lack of knowledge is our title tonight. Lord, give us your wisdom, use your word. We just are thankful that we can open it together this evening and hear from you, and we pray that we would listen, we would learn, we would respond, and be reminded about the importance of your word in our walk. So may you be glorified. We give you this service in Christ's name. Amen. So it's all about knowledge in this chapter. See in verse 1, no knowledge of God. Verse 6, they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. They've rejected knowledge. Verse 6, they've forgotten the law. And so Israel had made a decision to turn their back on God's word. And whenever God's children make that decision, we see the results later in the chapter of, again, turning our backs on the word. So let's see what the Bible has to say about this problem and then the resulting symptoms. So verse 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." So Israel made a decision to reject knowledge. Now we know where true knowledge comes from. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll be reminded of this tonight. And that is from God's word. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Notice the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So it's the beginning of knowledge when we say, I'm going to put God first. Now go down to verse 22, same chapter, Proverbs 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now look down at verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And then he writes an entire book, Proverbs, about God's knowledge and how we need it to guide us in our lives. So that's the Old Testament. And I'll go to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll see that, sure enough, this is a sign of the end times which we find ourselves in. That as Israel was 600 B.C., 700 B.C. or so, man is today. Man who claims to be God's child. Notice 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Look how that word turn is in there twice. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. That is today, isn't it? People don't want sound doctrine. So they've turned their ears away from wanting to hear the truth, and now they've turned their ears unto fables. Fables, inventions of man, man's stories, man's ideas. And so we're back as a race, if you will, a human race, back to where Israel was over 2,500 years ago, destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it starts with rejecting it, as we see there in verse 6. But then, look what it says in verse 6 of our passage, Hosea 4. Not only rejecting it, but then it says forgetting it. So those are two different things, aren't they? There's a conscious decision to say no to God when we're faced with His commandments, when we go to His Word and He says this, and we're conflicted in our flesh about that, and we make a decision. I am going to change, or no, I'm not going to listen to God. And then what comes next is forgetting it. Saying, now I'm not only going to reject the word of the Lord, but now I would rather get it out of my life. I'd rather forget it. And that is dangerous, as we'll see. So they have chosen, as it says, they have forgotten the law of thy God. And they go to Proverbs 28:9 this time. We'll look at some Old and New Testament verses, but don't let the devil get you to this point, to where you forget the Word of God, to where it no longer impacts you, to where it no longer is important to you, to where you're essentially rejecting it and forgetting it. Over Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. What a powerful truth. It will impact our prayers if we turn our ears away from hearing the law. The contrast is that we should want to remember the word. Amen? We should not only want to obey it, but that we should want to remember it. And you know how I always harp on memorizing scripture, that the Bible has so much to say about it. Psalms 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we always have a choice when it comes to the word. We can, as Israel did, reject it and forget it, or we can respond to it and continue to make it part of our lives. So what are the symptoms? What happens when man chooses to take this conscious step and is destroyed for lack of knowledge? Let's see where it leads here in this chapter. I have, four results, if you will. So the first thing we see is chastisement. Notice verse 9. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. So first comes the chastisement. God saying, You're rejecting my word. You're rejecting my commandments. You're forgetting my word. And God has to, and we continue to do that, God has to step in and try to get our attention because we're his children. The unsaved, this doesn't apply to them. But the saved, they're his children. And when we make a conscious decision to reject God's word and forget it, God has to step in. So go to Proverbs 1 again and look at verse 30. And we'll see that chastisement is the first step. So notice Proverbs 1:30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. See that therefore? So what did they do? They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore, they will essentially be punished. We get to the New Testament. What does God say? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So the first result is chastisement. And then once that begins, then man has a choice. And Israel's choice was to go further from God rather than to repent and come back to God. And so what came next? Look at verse 11 of our passage. It says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. So man gets to the point where he allows other things to steal his heart away from the Lord. Look at Luke 21 and we'll see what Jesus had to say about this. Luke 21 verse 34. And we see this all around us in the world today, don't we? Worldly pursuits, as it says here, wine or alcohol, whoredoms today, pornography, all of this. What's it do? It steals man's heart away from the Lord. Notice Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. This is Jesus speaking, warning us about when he returns, and he says, be careful not to be overcharged, not to allow these things to take over your life, surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. But that's exactly what Israel did, because they chose to reject. They chose to forget God's word. God said, I'm going to punish you, and this is what's going to happen. The whoredom and the wine and the new wine is going to take away the heart. And that's exactly what happens to us as well. Moving on, verse 12 of our passage. And my people ask counsel at their stalks. So when we make a conscious decision to say no, when we're confronted with the Word of God, and we always are, when we say, no, I don't want to hear God's Word, and then we consciously say, I forget the Word of God, the chastisement comes, we allow other things to pull us away, look what comes next. We start seeking counsel in other places rather than from the Lord. TV, internet, worldly friends, our own heart. We could go on and on. All the places where we shouldn't seek counsel, we start seeking counsel and advice. So good at Jeremiah 10:23. We'll see what God has to say about this. This is slowly becoming my favorite verse, actually. Jeremiah 10:23. remember, these are the symptoms, the results, if you will, of rejecting the word of God, of being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Chastisement, then other things began to steal away our heart. And then we begin to ask counsel at other places. Notice Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He's saying, Lord, I know that the way of man, the way that we should go, the right way, we don't even have it within ourselves. It's just not there. It is not in man that walk. No person has the way within himself. That we're all sinners and we're all going to be led astray if we trust ourselves. Why is that? Well, if you go over to Jeremiah 17, what's it say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But this is what happens, is we allow other things to pull our hearts away, and then we begin to seek counsel in other places, starting with our own heart, but from others and from the world, rather than seeking counsel from the Lord. Of course, the solution is always the same, isn't it? If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. James 1:5. So, these are what happened. Chastisement, allowing other things to pull us away, asking counsel in the wrong places, and where does it end? Verse 16, for Israel, Hosea 4:16, Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. We've all met backslidden Christians, and we've all been backslidden Christians. And that is the final result, is backsliding. Notice Jeremiah 2 and verse 19, if you would. Backsliding, it's a good word, isn't it? It's a Bible word. But it's not what we want to be, is backsliding. Jeremiah 2:19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. While we're talking about backsliding, go to Jeremiah 7, verse 24. It says, they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart. Here it is. And went backward and not forward. Went backward and not forward. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. They made a choice. They said, we don't want to hear the word anymore. We want to forget the word of God. God says, I'm going to chastise you. And they didn't respond to the chastisement, so they got pulled away by the things of the world, as it says, whoredom and wine and new wine. Began to ask counsel at the stalks rather than of the Lord. And then, verse 16, slid back as a backsliding heifer. And hence will come the captivity, as we'll see as we walk through these books. So it's not a complicated formula, is it? Let the Word be our guide. Stay in the Word. Never reject the Word. When we're confronted by the Word, respond. Respond as God wants us to by saying, Lord, I need help in that area. I need the Holy Spirit's help. But never get to where, like Israel, we say, I don't want to hear it. Because then, like Israel, we will be destroyed for none other than lack of knowledge. And that is a dangerous place for a Christian to be. And it was a dangerous place for Israel to be, as we see. So let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for